They ultimately have this program where if you earn a certain amount of qualifying points for a year, currently it's 135,000 points, you'll earn a companion pass. This is not a one-time companion pass or blackout dates or restricted in any capacity. Literally anywhere they go, in a limited number of times, you can use your companion pass. So if you want 365 days a year, and someone can fly with you for almost free. The only thing that you're on the hook for is that you have to pay the tax and the fees. So similar to when you use the points, you have to pay tax and the fees. Those are exact same fees you would pay if you use your companion pass. And the first passenger can also use points, and then you can add on the companion pass. So ultimately, two people can fly for free.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip with Jen Yellen from Deals We Like. Jen's passion for travel deals and points started 15 years ago when she started traveling for her consulting role. Throughout the years, Jen has continued to travel with her family frequently using all types of money-saving travel tricks that she shares on her blog, Deals We Like. In this episode, Jen and I discuss travel and money-saving strategies. We cover topics such as finding flight deals, earning companion pass, and when it makes sense to buy points. We also compare companion pass programs from Southwest versus Alaska versus Delta and some other programs as well. If you travel as a family like Jen, the Southwest Companion Pass might be worth considering. One way to earn a companion pass is by earning 135,000 Southwest points in a calendar year. You can start earning Southwest points by signing up for a Southwest credit card. One example is the Southwest Rapid Rewards Premier credit card. But remember, if you decide to apply for the Southwest Rapid Rewards Premier credit card or any other card, never apply directly through Google. Always use a friend or creator's referral link. And if you're interested in supporting this show when you apply for your next card, check out geobreezetravel.com/cards. And if you're not sure what card is right for you, I offer free credit card consultations at geobreezetravel.com/consultations. And we have links to the Southwest cards and the free consultation form for you in the show notes as well. And now, on with the show. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipino-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking. Do you ever wonder, what's the best deal I can get with my points? If so, you are going to love PointMe's new Explore function. All you need to do is type in your home airport, and if you want to find deals to a specific country, continent, or just anywhere. You can even filter the results by the type of trip that you want to take, whether it's a beach trip, city trip, foodie trip, or something else. Then, PointMe will send you a curated list of recommended destinations that fit your dates and search filters, with trips starting at about 6,000 points for a short weekend getaway. Check out PointMe by going to geobreezetravel.com/pointme and get your first three searches free. Again, that's geobreezetravel.com/pointme, PointMe. Hey, Jen, welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Thanks, Julia, for having me.
I'm so excited to have you here and to talk about some of the best deals that you have done in the past, but also more importantly, ones that people can still do today. Since you run a blog called Deals We Like, I'd love to find out about some of the deals that you love. But before we jump into all of that, tell us a little bit about your background and how did you get into the world of points and miles and deal finding?
Sure. So right out of college, I had a job that put me on the road every Monday through Thursday, 52 weeks a year. It was management consulting. I'd wake up at about 3:30 every morning to fly to like Bentonville, Arkansas for a good 2 years and then other places as well. But that was my primary post for a while. And every time at 3:30 in the morning, I said, I am going to maximize this and figure out a way to go on the best honeymoon. So while a honeymoon was my first goal, that was actually just one little piece of like my overall, I guess, next 18 years of points and miles. So that's pretty much how I got into it. I then stopped traveling and I would just talk to my husband's ear off nonstop about points and miles, and he was sick of it. So he came home one day and said, I created you a blog. I started the blog, thought it was just gonna be for fun, and it really was intended to be for fun, and it always was fun. But then it actually became a business. And from there, I blogged for many years and then started freelance writing for bigger major news outlets, such as CNN and The Point Sky primarily.
That's awesome. He was just like, here, write down all of your thoughts and feelings about Points and Miles.
Yes. And he's like, and then you can share it with your friends and I do not need to listen to you 24/7.
I love that. Sometimes
and he created the name Deals We Like all on his own. And then it just stuck.
I love that. Sometimes I ask my husband in the car if he wants to listen to my podcast. And he says he doesn't want to listen to me talk when I'm not actually even talking, or I sleep a lot in road trips. So he's like, I definitely don't want to hear you keep talking about Miles while you're still asleep. So that's hilarious. I have a very similar origin story as well. So what are some of your favorite deals that you've done in the past since you've been at this for a long time? Like you said, over a decade.
Yes, definitely over a decade. I've been accruing points and miles for probably about 18 years, but I'm trying to think exactly when I started being a little bit more active with blogging and then really divulging into the whole world of points and miles, but let's call it 15 years maybe. So there's been many, many different deals over the, you know, decade plus, and some are still available. Some are definitely not available. I will say, I think some of the better deals are no longer available. But there's still plenty that people can grab onto today as well.
What are some of your favorites that are still active today? Let's start with flights. What are some great deals that people can find on flights? And how do you go around finding these deals? How do you know where to look?
So many times I just organically find deals, whether I'm looking on social media or following various people that are in the know and knowledgeable. I subscribe to the flight deal alert. So I get text messages probably multiple times an hour on various flight deals. Sometimes they're awesome mistake fares. Sometimes they're limited to a city that doesn't even, you know, pertain to me. So it can be annoying for some, but I actually love it and I don't mind it at all. I'd prefer to know about all the deals than nothing and just sift through them myself. That's how I find out about these random one-offs. But those that aren't, you know, jump now on deals. My favorite are utilizing some of the companion pass programs, and whether that's with a companion pass that comes with a credit card or Southwest, which is an unlimited all access companion pass that isn't necessarily tied to a credit card. Those are by far my favorite and have earned me thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of dollars of free flights over the years.
So with the different mistake fares and everything, you've just subscribed to pretty much all of the different sites like Scott's Cheap Flights, which I think is now called going.com, mm-hmm. and the Points Thrifty Traveler, just all of the different alerts, because a lot of them are free that you can just sign up for. Like I know Ashley Gets Around has a free one for business class and first class mistake fares, and she has a free one and a paid one. And so people can just subscribe to the free one and get different deals that way as well. And like you mentioned, 90% of the deals probably don't pertain to like any given person.
Right.
But if you're able to pull one deal out from the year, you probably came out ahead.
Right. And I think it also depends on how flexible you are. Now in my current life, I'm definitely not as flexible to just get up and go on a whim, even if I know about the flight 2-3 months in advance, now that I have 2 kids at home. But prior to that, I could have just jumped on any flight, you know, mistake opportunity, or all of a sudden business class fares became available. So it really depends on your personal desires and needs and preferences as well.
Do you have a favorite mistake fare of all time that you ever jumped on where you're like, this was so good?
I have 2 off the top of my head. One I ended up having to cancel. It was when there was $19 fares from Boston to Puerto Rico on JetBlue, nonstop, every day of the week. I booked it for our like Christmas vacation, time off of school, and then there was COVID. So we decided not to travel that Christmas break, and I had to cancel those $19 mistake fare flights, which was really sad, especially because those types of opportunities do not come the exact days you need over probably the most peak time of year. So that was unfortunate. The other mistake fare that I took advantage of was when trying to think, this was probably exactly 11 years ago when I went, but it was flights to Israel. And so my husband and I went, I booked it from my mom and my dad without them even knowing I was doing it. I knew they'd happily jump on it. So that was another awesome mistake fare. I can't remember the exact pricing off the top of my head, but about $300 rings a bell. And then there was some opportunity to pay a slight extra after the mistake fare was found and fly home direct on LL for maybe $100 extra. So that was a great one.
That's an economy, right? It's not like a $300 business class flight.
That was an economy. I am one of the few that will happily fly outside of the United States in economy. I've actually flown in economy outside the United States way more than business class.
A lot of people in the points world are like, once you fly business class, you can't go back. I have a hard time going back. I think once I flew over the ocean in JetBlue Mint, I was like, I can't go back. What do you say to those people like me? Where it's just like, how do you flip flop back and forth where sometimes you have a really crazy luxury experience in like Q Suites or Emirates or Singapore or something. And then sometimes you're like, it's fine. Like it's fine to do LL economy.
I'm actually not an aviation geek, if you want to put it that way. So I don't care about the airline I'm flying, the seat I'm flying. Yes, business class or first class, by all means, is way more desirable. But I care more about the destination than how I get to the destination. So if I can suck up a flight and it allows me to then go to the destination, then I'm happy to do it. I'd rather go than not go if it means economy versus business.
When you're looking at these different deals, are you filtering it by destination or are you just like, oh, this is a really cool deal and like, it's not my top 10 like bucket list place, but like, it's probably top 20. So let's go ahead and go. How do you manage like destinations you like versus deals that come up? Because sometimes a lot of people run into this problem where they're like really, really picky and they're like, I need to get from Boston to Rome on May 24th. And like the deal just isn't going to come up if you're that specific. I've heard the worst time to try to find mistake fares is when you need the mistake fare to come up. How do you juggle all of that?
I'm probably in the middle. Sometimes I do have a list of places I want to go, but then I'm also open to going to new places that weren't necessarily thought about if the opportunity arises itself. But I won't necessarily just go to go right now in my life, actually. Like, for example, a few weeks ago, JetBlue opened up business class seats to Ireland, I believe. And it's not one of my top destinations. I know people love it. So there's nothing against Ireland, but I'm looking to go somewhere this summer. And that just wasn't even close to my top destination. So I didn't pull the trigger just because it was a deal. So I think you have to balance it. And it also depends on your situation too.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of people, I think, have a lot of FOMO, especially in the world of social media, where you're like, I saw somebody else go to Ireland. I saw somebody go to Africa. I saw somebody go to Asia. And as you're like scrolling through, like every 2 seconds, you see another person and another destination. For everybody listening, you don't have to go to all those destinations. Like you don't have to always have the FOMO of, oh, I need to be constantly traveling just because I see other people constantly traveling. We've talked on the show before about a lot of people like myself are constantly posting about travel, but I take like 3 or 4 big trips a year. Some people take more, some people take less, but most people are not constantly traveling, even though the illusion of social media makes it seem that way.
Yes. I probably take the same, I'm trying to think, probably 4 trips a year, 4 like 1 week long trips, as it's based around my kids' school calendar. So we have 3 vacations and then 1 over the summer. So 4 is a good number for me as well. And while I'm open to destinations, I also want to make sure it's the right destination where everyone will enjoy and it'll be a good choice.
For sure. So earlier you were talking about the companion pass programs, either with Southwest or with other programs. Can you compare and contrast for us? Like, what are the companion pass programs out there? Which ones do you love? How do you get these? Because I think a lot of people have maybe heard of Southwest, but they're not familiar with other programs as well.
Yes. So similar to being okay not flying business class, I'm also perfectly fine flying Southwest and not having a dedicated seat assignment and fine if I end up like in the toilet seat or whatever. I don't care. I actually love Southwest, although they have gotten rid of many of the nonstop destinations post-COVID to Providence Airport, which is only an hour or less from me. So they're not my top airline right now, just because of availability and destinations. But they ultimately have this program where if you earn a certain amount of qualifying points per year, currently it's 135,000 points, you'll earn a companion pass. This is not a one-time companion pass or blackout dates or restricted in any capacity. Literally anywhere they go, an unlimited number of times, you can use your companion pass. So if you want 365 days a year, and someone can fly with you for almost free. The only thing that you're on the hook for is that you have to pay the taxes and fees. So similar to when you use your points, you have to pay taxes and fees. Those are exact same fees you would pay if you use your companion pass. And the first passenger can also use points, and then you can add on the companion pass. So ultimately, two people can fly for free. And I've had this for about 15 years. I've taken a few breaks throughout the time frame, but for the most part, it's gone through consistently.
What's your strategy for renewing companion pass year after year?
So there's been many ways over the past 15 years of how to earn the pass. And unfortunately, earning the pass is harder than it used to be, not only because of the number of qualifying points you need, but in what counts for a point. So it used to be you could transfer points from Chase, for example, or even Wyndham. You could purchase, one of my favorite ways was purchasing Wyndham points at a really low cost through daily getaways, and then transferring the points needed. That is no longer available. But now the best strategy, for the person that doesn't fly Southwest throughout the week or the year, the best strategy is to apply for their credit cards when there's a high sign-up bonus. And this is because the welcome offers that you get anywhere between probably 60,000 to 100,000 points, depending on the particular card or offer at the time, will count towards the points needed. If you apply for the card in late fall, winter, and you get the qualifying points posted to your account in, let's say, early January or even February, March, that pass, the 135,000 points that will get you the pass, will actually be valid for almost 2 years. So once you earn the pass, it's eligible for the rest of the year earned, plus the whole entire following next year. So if you were to earn the pass, let's say January, February, March of 2024, that pass would not expire until December 31st of 2025, which is amazing.
That is amazing. I think one of the most popular strategies for people to get companion pass these days is to get a business card and then a personal card. Unfortunately, you can't just double up on personal cards and get two personal sign-up bonuses, but one business card could probably get you 80,000 points as a sign-up bonus, and then a personal card can get you somewhere between 50 and 75,000 depending on the offer. And so between those, and then you'll get an extra 10,000 bonus points just for holding a Southwest card. So you'll get that boost into your account. You're at 135,000 that way. Or if you have a business and you just want to get one business credit card, get 80,000 points there, and then you can spend 40,000. You're probably a Southwest companion pass that way. If you want to get both business credit cards, there's a lot of different ways to mix and match combinations. There are a lot of strategies also that do not work. So like you mentioned, don't just transfer in 135,000 Chase points into Southwest. That is not going to get you a companion pass, and you're going to be a very, very sad person if you end up doing that. You can't have, like, you get one personal card and your player two get a personal card and then transfer and pool points between two people. That doesn't work. And then if one sign-up bonus posts in like December 2023 and one posts in January 2024, because you got two cards, you didn't earn 135,000 points in a calendar year. So you don't actually get companion pass. And a lot of people find that out the hard way. For anybody listening, I want you to not be one of those people who finds that out the hard way. Please make sure that you are timing, meeting your sign-up bonuses so that they post in early January. And that's why I usually don't recommend to beginners, don't get the Southwest cards until like December, because that way it's harder to mess up. And if you're listening to this later and it's February or March 2024 and you're like, oh, I missed the boat, I'm too late, you can still get companion pass then, because you'll still have it for 8 months of 2024 plus all of 2025, which is still way better than getting it for just December 2023 and all of 2024.
Right. And come February, many times over the past few years, they've had offers where just applying for one card will automatically earn you the pass. You'll receive less points than you would normally, but that is also a good opportunity if that same promotion were to pop up to earn the pass. Usually the pass is slightly different where you'll only earn it for a year, not necessarily the entire remainder of the year plus the entire following year, but it's still a good way to dip your toes in, easy way to earn the pass. You don't have to worry about applying for two cards. You don't have to worry about making sure to hit the qualifying points, earning the qualifying points in the right calendar year or anything, and to see if the pass actually works for you. And one thing that my husband and I sometimes have done is I'll earn the pass 1 year, he can earn it the next year, or earn it both at the same year, and then that both of our kids can fly for free.
How does it compare to other companion pass programs with other airlines?
Sure. So there's a few other programs that by having their credit card, you'll earn a pass. So unlike Southwest, you do not have to have their credit card. Of course, the welcome offer and the credit card spend from the credit card will help you earn the pass quicker. You do not have to be a credit card member to actually earn the pass. With other programs such as Alaska Airlines and Delta, you actually have to hold their credit card. And that's one of the benefits that comes with those particular cards. It's not on all Delta credit cards. For example, it's only on select ones. And for Alaska, it also is a benefit that you'll see as well. And there's other programs out there as well. But ultimately for Alaska, it used to be just by being a cardholder, you'd earn an annual companion pass. So that means as long as you're flying, another person can fly with you for free. The difference from Southwest is though, it has to be a paid fare. That's a change from what it used to be forever ago. And there is a fee of, I believe it's $99, and you're on the hook for about $23 in taxes and fees, although it depends on your destination. So you're still paying $129 just to use the companion pass. With Southwest, let's say you're flying domestically, it's only $5.60 each way. So it's definitely a slightly more expensive, but solely by paying the annual fee for the Alaska credit card, you'll get this pass. If you're just applying for the card now, though, there is a $6,000 minimum spend requirement annually to earn the pass. So that's one difference if you're a new cardholder versus previous cardholder. And so I was able to use this pass last April. My family and I went to San Diego. There's not many options from Boston to San Diego. It's also an extremely expensive fare, especially if you're looking to go during peak April vacation when kids are out of school. And I used it on a round trip flight. It cost me $123 or $122 a month. And it saved, it was probably about a $600 fare. So it saved us $500. My husband also has the Alaska credit card, saved $500 for my son. So we were each a companion pass for our respective kids. So it worked. It was good. It was a nice $1,200 savings. We've canceled the card since then because we don't need the pass anymore. And it was one of the reasons we actually applied for the card at the time.
Yeah, that's a really, really, yeah, that's a pretty sizable savings, especially just from opening one or two cards with Alaska. Can you talk about mileage runs a little bit? Because sometimes there are deals where, like, if you get a certain number of flights in a certain amount of time, you get some extra perks. And sometimes they do that with hotels as well, where it's called a mattress run. Have you ever come across any deals where you're like, this is how to determine if it's worth it to go on that extra flight or just book some hotel nights that might have not been on plan A, but where the math might make sense to do a mileage or mattress run?
Absolutely. So I'm actually not huge on mileage runs. I used to be more on it, but now I don't chase status anymore. That used to be something I did way back when, but there actually is a time that I enrolled in a promotion. So it was a mileage run, not for the sole purpose of earning status, but a mileage run for earning this bonus promotion. So JetBlue was offering like a pretty awesome promotion. It was probably about 7-8 years ago when if you had any miles in Virgin America, they would match it up to 75,000 points or something on that level. So I opened up an account for all of my family members, transfer points into their respective accounts to make sure that I showed that they had my miles in the program. And then the four of us, my son was only 2 months old at the time and could have flown for free, but I of course paid for him. I found the cheapest JetBlue flight I could possible from Boston to Newark, and then returning 30 minutes later on the exact same flight with the exact same stewardess and captain and everything. went to Newark, 30 minutes later, turned around, and all four of us got 75,000 points each. So there are sometimes opportunities to embark on a flight solely for flying and earning the points or status necessary. It's not something I do much these days, but it is definitely a great way to earn bonus miles or points and opportunities to embark on status.
How about deals where people are buying points? Because I get a lot of DMs where people are like, hey, I see that Choice points are on sale, or Avianca points are on sale, or Air Canada points are on sale, like, or Hyatt, like, is this a good idea to just buy points and load up on them if they're on sale? Or how do you usually think about deals like that?
Typically, I do not say as a general rule of thumb to purchase points. The programs are smart. They'll know that you're buying them at a premium and that there's no reason for you to buy points to actually redeem them. But there are a few programs where buying points actually can be significantly less expensive. I know you mentioned Choice points, and Choice is one of those programs where they still have a fixed redemption chart for the most part. So with Choice, there's a lot of properties that cost like 16,000 points a night. And sometimes it could be different if it's the weekend versus the weekday in a certain time of year. But they also offer options to purchase points at almost up to 50% bonus throughout the entire year. So it's not like a one-time opportunity, but many times throughout the year, you'll see something between 25 to 50% bonus in purchasing points. So even just a month ago, you could have purchased points for less than 70 cents a point. And let's say you're looking at a hotel that's 10,000 points a night. That's just $70 to stay at a hotel that might have otherwise been costing $150. So you always want to do the math to make sure that purchasing points is a good opportunity for you. And you don't want to just go purchase points because you see that there's a promotion out there.
For sure. And that was with Choice Hotels, right? Which I think mm-hmm. is one of the most underrated hotel programs, especially if you go to Northern Europe. Like, they're so cheap. And I know a lot of people in the US are like, I don't love Clarion Inn or any of those. But they're very nice in like Scandinavia and parts of Asia, like especially Japan, Korea. And if you have any city cards, like City Premier, you can move points over at a 1-2 rate. So if it says it costs 12,000 choice points to stay at a hotel, you really only need 6,000 city points. So I think they're a very, very underrated program.
I agree with that. I think they're very underrated. Not only that, I found that many properties, if they offer 1 or 2 bedroom suites, for example, out there, like Blue Green Vacation Clubs, I believe are what they're called. As long as it's available, you can use the same number of points to redeem for a 1 or 2 bedroom as you would for a regular standard studio. Unlike other programs where you're paying 2, 3, 4 times, or like in Hilton, you'll probably be paying 10 times the price just to book that premier room.
Yeah. That's awesome. And when you mentioned to do the math before buying any points, I know people just see the word like sale, 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 and they're like, oh, they're on sale, I should buy them. But yeah, the two rules of thumb are, one, make sure you actually know what redemption you want to use this on. Don't just be like, I'm sure I'll use these Air Canada points eventually. Let's just load up. Because if a program is like putting a lot of points on sale, sometimes it's just like a warning that they might devalue their program in a few months. I know a lot of people have gotten caught in that trap before. But then also do the math to make sure that the cost of buying the points is cheaper than just outright buying the flight. Because I purchased some Alaska points earlier this year. I think I spent $2,000 to buy a few hundred thousand Alaska miles, and then I got $8,000 worth of business class tickets by redeeming those Alaska points. So the math clearly just worked out there, but I just want everybody to do that math in their head to be like, how much does it cost to buy the points needed for this flight versus just buying the flight, and then make sure the math works out in your favor.
Absolutely. And still take into consideration taxes and fees and everything, the full package. I know that actually happened more recently with a lot of people who are buying Wyndham points and redeeming them on Vacasa, which is similar to an Airbnb management platform. And you could ultimately book like a 1-bedroom condo for about $135, $140 when Wyndham offered bonus promotions. And then they changed how you could go ahead and redeem your Wyndham points for Vacasa. You can still do it, but now there's caps and it's not as generous as it used to be. And a lot of people got stuck with points that they now might not be able to redeem. So definitely only purchase points if you know you're going to redeem them in the very, very near future. And remember that availability can change as well.
For sure. How about deals that you like that aren't necessarily travel deals, but still like just really good for consumer general goods. Any deals that you find there, and how do you generally source these deals? Are there subscription lists for this as well?
I don't have any subscription lists for those, I don't believe, but a lot of times it's just looking at other blogs, social media, just being in the know. But to your point, I really love some of the offers that come along with Chase and American Express. So both programs offer what is known as American Express offers and then Chase offers. So just by being a credit card holder, you can go into your account, simply look to see what offers are on each particular card, save your offer. And then once you use your credit card at that merchant, you'll receive either bonus points, a statement credit, whatever the particular offer is. And this is just an easy way to save money on something you're going to purchase anyways. Another offer that I really like that happens multiple times throughout the year is when you use a point or a handful of points, depending on the offer, with Amazon. So American Express is one of those programs that runs this often. So if you have an American Express membership rewards credit card, let's say the Platinum card, and there could be an offer, although targeted, where you could receive potentially up to 50% off your Amazon order just by using 1 point on the checkout page. So you'll never really want to use pay in full and cover your entire Amazon order with those points. I know that's a way that people will sometimes redeem their American Express points. It's definitely not the best value, although I understand that that might be the best value in your personal situation. But just by using 1 point, you could potentially save anywhere between like $15 and $80, depending on the particular promotion and if you're targeted.
Tell us a little bit about the Kohl's Cash deal, because that is a points currency, a reward currency that I've never really delved into, but I've been to a couple conferences now where people are like, oh, have you played with Kohl's Cash? Kohl's Cash is great. What is the big deal with Kohl's Cash?
So Kohl's Cash is usually they run promotions, and it's not even just around Black Friday or Cyber Monday, but throughout the whole year, many times it's spend $50, get $10 in Kohl's Cash rewards. But one of my absolutely favorite promotions that they do run, which is in conjunction with Kohl's Cash, is over the Black Friday, Cyber Monday timeframe. And they sell these small appliances from Toastmasters, which are not high-end quality by any means, but I also wouldn't say they're junk. They're middle, lower end of the road, but they're perfect. They're do the job if that's all you need. And they're small for if you live in an apartment. And they sell them for about, off the top of my head, $16, $17. So once you apply all your savings, it brings it down to about $13. And while that's still expensive for potentially one of these kitchen appliances, they then offer a $12 rebate. So you're purchasing this for just a few bucks. And then on top of it, you're earning all your Kohl's Cash on the regular price of the item. So I went through this just a few weeks ago, actually, and I ended up with 55 small kitchen appliances that are still in my living room as we speak. And while some people will then go ahead and sell them, I'm actually donating most of them to various organizations that could really utilize them. With that being said, I'm still ending up ahead because I earned about $235 in Kohl's Cash. And Kohl's sent me about 11 extra small kitchen appliances. So it's, yes, I don't know
why,
what happened there.
How?
I don't know. They just keep on arriving at my doorstep. But I'm coming out ahead, for the most part, breaking even, and then still getting this Kohl's Cash ahead of it. Some people then go ahead, purchase more kitchen appliances, and then sell them on eBay or Amazon. I actually love some of the kids' clothes at Kohl's. It's inexpensive. It's perfect. It's all my kids need. And they'll be getting some new sweatshirts, clothes, sneakers over the next month. But Kohl's Cash, it does expire. So you'll have to make sure to use it in a timely manner. And once it expires, they do not extend it. Been down that road before.
So some people are like buying a toaster, getting like a $15 coupon or something to then apply to the next toaster to get like another $15. And so recursively, they're spending like $5.
Well, once you... No, because if you use your Kohl's Cash, you don't earn Kohl's Cash.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. But it's just a good way to then purchase items to then sell if you're big into the eBay or Amazon selling groups. And then you're earning Kohl's Cash on top of that.
Are you able to get like tax write-offs or something just by donating all of these? If you're like, yeah, I spent like X hundred dollars and then I got X hundred dollars in Kohl's Cash and then I donated 50 toasters. Like, does that work?
I have no idea.
Oh, you're just, you're not even doing like a tax write-off. You're just like, here, organizations, here's some toasters.
I don't know. Sometimes we're like, here, no, I've donated a bunch. And I've always asked the accountant, I think he just puts through that. I don't know if we donate enough. I think we're still at the minimum threshold of taxes for our donations. So I don't know if that would put us over the minimum.
Yeah, that is a crazy good deal. I've heard other people talk about it from just like an Amazon reselling standpoint, and they're like, oh, I love these appliances. They're just like the best money makers on Amazon deals if you want to jump on that deal during Black Friday or Cyber Monday.
I've been doing it for probably about 5 years and I've always donated it. This year, I'm actually going to take some of them, sell them. Although there's 60 of them, so I still have plenty to donate. And that's like my feel good for the year, because I think for me, that's important, but I know for others, they'll just go sell it. And then I'm actually having someone else sell them for me, so I don't have to do the work, and then we'll split the profit. So it will cover some of my cost. Yeah.
I love that. Well, with all of the different deals that you've learned about over the years and different deals that you've done, what would you say is your number one best piece of advice that we can fit on an Instagram quote card?
I would say sometimes a deal might look very challenging on the surface, but once you look into it, it's actually not so hard to partake in yourself. And putting in a little bit of effort can actually go a very long way.
Great advice. And speaking of great advice, can you give a shout out to somebody else on the internet who you would recommend listeners check out for even more points and miles tips?
There's so many. I started my blog on Boarding Area, so that's a site that really still holds true to me. And by going in Boarding Area, there's not one particular person, but I just love looking at the headlines and then reading those particular articles that are of interest to me. I'm still more on the article side of reading than the social media side of learning at this point, but the original bloggers are still great and I still enjoy their advice that they have to give.
For sure. Boarding Area is a really good place, like you mentioned, that aggregates a lot of the top headlines if you're more into reading than video content. And where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me at my blog sometimes these days at dealswelike.com, but mostly writing for larger news outlets such as CNN underscore. The primary place you'll find me, and the Points Guy a little bit here and there too.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Jen, so much for joining us on the podcast today and talking about some of your favorite deals and also where people can find even more deals if they like to find these types of different things as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Julia, for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!